Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this very episode, the SAG strike continues with some fallout for some actors. Barbie cracks a billion. The Sound of Freedom ends the summer as a massive hit with a target on its back. Our spoiler-free review of The Meg 2 and our primary topic this week, movie sequels we didn't need. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing today?
Troy Heinrichs.
It's going to be a fun one.
And Amanda Sink is not here because, I don't know, she had something. So it's just us dudes. Just the dude contest. You guys ready?
Yeah. You know, we're just going to man out today. None of that female energy.
We have the manliest men of all men.
Yeah.
Our Kenergy is high.
Yeah, I am Knuff.
I feel like that's a shirt waiting to happen.
It is a shirt. You saw Barbie. It's in the Barbie movie.
I thought it was just a line. I know they made it into shirts.
Yeah.
No, they're making it into sweatshirts and everything. I almost want to get one.
Dude, it wasn't a line. It was literally a shirt he wore in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You sure you saw it?
I haven't seen the movie yet. I still want the shirt.
Oh, speaking of, by the time you hear this, Barbie's made $1 billion worldwide, which is what Margot Robbie forecast it as when they pitched it. So who raise your hand if you called Barbie making $1 billion this summer and rivaling Top Gun Maverick for this summer's blockbuster
worldwide. Yeah,
I didn't call that shit at all.
No one did. Anyone who says they did is a flat out liar. Even right. You, Troy.
I maybe didn't have a billion, but I had it in like the high eights.
That's a pretty wide open field.
8 to 1 billion is pretty damn. Eights? That's a lot of money, regardless. 800 million to a billion is the same range.
We have this on tape someplace. No, you fucking didn't.
You did not. No one did. No one called Barbie being this big a hit. No one. Go watch the summer movie preview or listen to it. I don't know if you can watch it, but yeah. But good for them. That's pretty awesome. It's been a juggernaut.
I'm not going to let Troy sit there and be like, "Oh, I knew it was going to be that." No, you didn't. We had this on an episode. You did not.
I knew it was going to be huge.
Nope. Nope, nobody thought. None of us thought it was going to be as big as it is, as it will be, forever and ever.
Amen.
And you know, none of them have a deal in place for sequels.
Somebody's going to be backing a dump truck of money on their porches. That's right. All I'm going to say.
Right. It's going to be Margot boop, robbed boop, me. Boop.
Speaking of foreshadowing.
What?
Sequels.
Oh, okay.
Right.
We were both sitting there going, oh boy, Troy's he's doing his thing again. Nobody knows what he's talking about.
Whoops.
No, I feel
it was in the opening of the show. Hey, I feel bad. From the outside of topic, movie sequels we didn't need.
We're just so used to being like, what is Troy saying now? what is this, and how does it have anything to do with just Troy?
That's true. Hey, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. It's a private group. You got to look for it. And we're on Twitter at @ByPopcorn, on Threads at The Hollywood Outsider. You know, at the time you're listening to this, the way Threads is looking, I don't know if it's going to be there in like 6 weeks. But as of right now, we're on there. Isn't that kind of a pointless app? I feel like nobody's there. It's like a ghost.
What about X? X is nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We're not on Twitter. We're on X.
We're on X.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's the X state of whatever that it is. I don't know.
It's the actual, what do you call it, the alphabet of the Google. So it's SpaceX, and Tesla has the sexy cars. There's an X in that one. So now this is X.
They have sexy cars.
Did you know this? This is the model of the Teslas. It's the Model S, the Model 3, the Model X, and the Model Y.
Oh, that just spelled sexy. Look at that.
It sure does.
That's stupid.
That, but he wanted to do that.
That's Elon's brain for you.
Yep.
Wow. I'm learning so much today.
I found this out in the New York Times. Elon owns 50% of space.
What? What? How do you own space?
50% of the satellites that are in orbit around Earth are owned by Elon Musk.
Well, that's a different statement.
Okay. Raise your hand if we've just discovered who the actual Lex Luthor is.
Just discovered. The fact that he was going toe-to-toe with NASA, I thought, was a pretty damn good giveaway.
Well, I don't know. I think the whole fact that he wants to fight Zuckerberg in the ring, I thought that was probably part of it, too.
It's kind of amazing when you think about it. And everyone would want to watch that, let's be honest.
I mean, he does fit the Clark Kent mantra, and then he goes to Congress, and he looks like freaking Superman sitting in front of that panel.
His natural head is more akin to Lex Luthor than what it is currently, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that is some amazing hair plugs he's got there.
He's got a lot of hair plugs.
They look great, though. You know, I mean,
great. I'm jealous. Yeah. I buy them.
I wish I had those, that kind of natural looking hair plugs, because you see some hair plugs out there, they don't look natural at all.
I love people saying Elon's one of us, and I'm just like, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's definitely not. No, billionaires and also multimillionaires, they're just not with you. I don't care what they say.
They live a life that you'll never understand.
Yeah. We don't. We'll never understand it. Speaking of never understanding, I don't understand why The Rock is still talking about Black Adam and how it didn't go anywhere. And, you know, he's vexed at why the leadership chose to not make a sequel to Black Adam and kind of dump the whole character. And I understand it, and I don't work there. So I don't understand why The Rock has such a problem with this. John, what say you?
Yeah, I don't know. I understand why he has a problem with it, but he was going on with Kevin Hart about how he's saying that he said a weird set of words that I didn't understand, which was essentially people who manage money, who care about the fans. I don't know what that means. I've never seen those words come together in a sentence or even experienced it. So
he's trapped in a vortex of leadership.
Right. You know, I think he's throwing words together that to make it sound like more than it really is. Though ultimately, Black Adam was fine. We didn't necessarily need more Black Adam, but he's upset because it is the largest opening he's ever had, which mm-hmm. is hard to say because he's had some really big openings, you know. But I guess the amount of work that he put into it and the fact that it's going nowhere is really breaking his heart a bit. So I get it to some extent, but on the other end, you know what? Let it go. I mean, everybody else is getting kind of bent over a barrel with it too. So you're not special, Rock.
Yeah, and I wanted Henry Cavill back too, and it's not going to happen. And blah 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 blah. Gal Gadot is coming back. That's cool.
Yeah,
but you know, I just feel like sour grapes. I mean, and I feel like he keeps making this movie out to be a way bigger success than it was. It wasn't a monster success. You know, it cost a lot of money and didn't make the money that it should have made for that kind of cost. And that's a problem, I think.
Yeah, it made enough money that it introduced the character. And the problem is that you're not Wonder Woman, you're not Superman, you're not Batman. Therefore, you do not get a sequel because you're not one of the big three.
Yeah, I mean, the budget was like $200 million and it made $393. And you got to make at least double your budget to make a profit.
And it's like, it's good enough to be part of a group. Like, you could have had the Justice League, and then you could have had whatever these guys are, the Justice Society, and you could have had a whole, you know, Avengers type movie with the Justice Society. Problem is, DC said, nope, we're not going to be DC anymore. We're going to scrap it all and start over. So the reason why The Rock can't understand this, and why we can't understand why The Rock is having an issue with it, is because we just don't understand people that make that kind of money.
That's the answer to everything. We just don't understand people that make that kind of money.
Yeah, we don't. You know, I will never understand why DC is going the way it is. I'm excited for their next property to be launched this coming weekend, which is going to be Blue Beetle.
That looks good. It looks good. Yeah,
it looks good. I actually tried to talk a friend of mine into waiting a little bit because I'm traveling the weekend it comes out before he goes and sees it. And he's like, you are definitely not going to ask me to not go to the movie theater and watch the very first Hispanic superhero get his first movie. I said, you're right. My bad. I don't know what I was thinking. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm excited about it. But at the same time, I just watched Flash recently and that broke my heart. They could have done so many other things to make the Flash so much better. They could have done so many things to capitalize on the idea of the multiverse, or even improve upon the verse, or do a better transition even with the coming back into the normal world. And he could have showed up and been Grant, or he could have shown back up and been somebody completely new as the Flash, and it would have been a great way to get Ezra out of there and give us something to look forward to.
Is your friend Eli?
I am neither going to confirm nor deny.
Because for most people that haven't heard the Patreon episode, we had a discussion about old Eli. And apparently Eli likes to use his phone in the theater. And I said there is no excuse on the planet Earth where that is okay. And so you should be thanking. You should actually, when he says, I'm not going to wait for you, say, thank you. Thank you, because I'm going to go enjoy my experience and not be distracted by your rudeness. That's what you should tell him.
Does he get to go to the special hell for, reserved for people who talk in the theater?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same hell. It's the same hell. Never okay. Never okay.
I don't think Flashpoint, when it wasn't Flashpoint, but it was close to Flashpoint, I think that the concept of the Flash movie would have been great for DC had they like worked it to be the transition movie into whatever the new James Gunn stuff is going to be.
Right.
They had a great way to segue it, and they just completely botched it. Plus, if you're going to put Nick Cage in, just put Nick Cage in. He'll totally do it. He likes working.
He did do it.
Those cameos were weird. He did do it. That one was Nick Cage. He was there. In the,
that was actually him.
And it still looked that bad. That's right.
It literally looked that horrible. I thought it was completely CGI.
Well, the thing is that the CGI was so slap chopped put together because of all the reshoots and everything, or in the changing of the story, that they had, like, that's what we got. Like, that's
that 300... should look like The Rock and The Mummy Returns,
right?
In different parts, man.
You're right. That's what slap chop is, man. It doesn't look great, but that's the thing. We had these $200-300 million
Christopher
movies
Reeve
being produced.
Creep me out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, Marvel hasn't done any better recently with some of their CGI. You know, there's some difference. There's some CGI that's still great, and there's other CGI examples from Marvel that has been crap because there's so much slap chop happening because they're giving the CGI to the lowest common denominator, and whoever's going to give them the best price are going to slap chop something together, and then they just run with it. So I really can't wait till we start going back to maybe $100 million movies or $50 million movies.
Oh, yeah, we
got to
bring the budgets down for sure.
Yeah, it's getting a little nuts.
And everybody do a shot when John says slap chop, because apparently it's a drinking game.
Well, and that's what he did. You know, The Rock basically slap chopped his own movie because he said, hey.
Or when anyone says
we can't.
I've never heard this expression in my life. Now everybody's using it.
The minute he basically shunned Zachary Levi and the Shazam character from the movie, it was like you literally put yourself out at that moment. You shot yourself because that is the whole thing. Like, the entire universe is connected. You need those two together in order for it to continue into something great, because Shazam 2 fell flat on its face as well.
It sucked, man. I just watched that. I couldn't even make it through a half hour.
I enjoyed it, but that's just me. The whole dipping out on Shazam with Black Adam, that does not make a lick of sense to me.
That's ego. That's ego.
Yeah. That is absolute ego, because you can't have Black Adam without Shazam. You know, he is the whole reason Shazam is the whole reason why Black Adam comes back to the planet or shows back up, is because of Shazam. So,
well, you know what it was, is like The Rock is just sitting there going, man, I can't go up against Zachary Levi. I'm just not doing it. I can't go up against Chuck. That's not right.
I can't go up against that much personality. Are you kidding me? Look at me. I'm doing the most quiet acting I've ever done since Faster.
I remember that one. I like that movie.
I like that movie too.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so we're gonna move on. So The Sound of Freedom's making headlines due to an investor that has been charged with some child kidnapping. Okay, and if you don't know what Sound of Freedom is, it's about the movie's Jim Caviezel as an agent trying to stop child trafficking. That's ultimately what it is. And, you know, we've talked about the movie. It's been out for a while. It's actually like the indie box office hit of the summer, doing fantastic business. It's got a weird campaign where they pay it forward. Not weird, but it's worked for them, where they're basically paying it forward. Other people can donate money and buy tickets for other people so that everybody can see it. It's kind of a cool idea. But there are investors, people that kicked in money to help finance the promotion, is basically what happened. And then this particular person was one of those. So therefore, he's in the credits. That doesn't necessarily mean that he actually, you know, was involved in the filmmaking. But 51-year-old Fabian Marta of Chesterfield, Missouri, on July 23rd, was arrested. He's not a financier of the actual production, just of that campaign. So therefore, his name's in the credits. Is is this really something the studio should be technically involved in? And what I mean is, like, people are saying, well, this just shows, because there's a lot of people that don't like it because they think it's a right-wing movie or whatever. It's a movie about child trafficking. I've seen it. I think people should see it before they start having all these opinions. It's wild. I don't care how many right-wing radio shows or talk shows that Jim Caviezel goes on. The movie itself is not really preaching anything except don't traffic children. Should the movie be held accountable for what that one random dude does? You know, it isn't like the lead actor got involved in something.
Should we even be talking about this as a story?
Not really, but no. It's like a huge story. I don't understand why. Isn't it just like people are just trying to make it a political thing? Their own political ideology.
Isn't it the guy was charged for sex trafficking? He was charged with kidnapping. And it could be as simple as like a parenting squabble about how, because I've seen this happen where you have divorced parents who literally like one parent took them and it was supposed to be like their day or something. And then the other spouse charges the other person for kidnapping. It could be as simple as that. Like we don't know the court system because like it just happened and like they're just saying, oh, because he's in the credits, it means that, you know, because he's a child, child trafficker, this movie is basically garbage now and whatever. It's dumb.
Well, and according to Deadline, Marta is a landlord to a woman who's involved in a custody dispute with her aunt, and he was allegedly providing living arrangements to said woman and her child, and that was a factor of it. So we don't know what happened. It's right. Just wild that it's being politicized. Again, everything gets politicized if people think.
Here, let's put it another way. Veronica Mars, the movie, was done by a Kickstarter campaign, and oh, there was a private investigator who was involved with actually doing some pretty shady private investigating. So because of that, you shouldn't see Veronica Mars, the movie, because of one person.
Yeah, it's wild. It's just wild.
Yeah, this is one of those weird things about how blame is passed around to people without a full understanding of what's going on. You know,
the dude probably paid $20.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's more than that. I think it's a few thousand, but still.
I mean, it's still like you can't, with that, as many investors that probably wanted to go into this movie, they can't sit there and vet every single person that put money into it. To do so would be not only a waste of time and a waste of resources, but it would also be why look a gift horse in the mouth, something, you know, in occasions like this.
Well, they might vet him, but I mean, if he doesn't have a conviction standing, then he's free and clear. You know what I mean? Like, this just right. happened. It isn't like it happened during production.
Oh, well, then this is not even a thing.
Oh, it's a thing on the internet.
And that's what the studio even themselves said. You know, the people that made the movie, they were basically like, can you hold the stock market or a company accountable because some guy spent, you know, $5 on a share of stock? They don't care about the little stockholders. They care about the top 1% of the stockholders that show up in the board report.
And maybe he gave like a few $100. I don't remember. I don't know the total, and I had it and I kind of lost it, but it really doesn't matter. $5, $5,000. It doesn't matter. It's just the whole, he's not part of the movie. He just helped them promote it financially.
It was a collection of people that were basically like angel investors. Crowdfunding. Yeah. And you get your name in the credits. Big deal.
That'd be awesome. My name's in the Veronica Mars credits.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Proud of it.
Man.
Does that mean that you are also a pretty bad private investigator?
No, but it means I'm an awesome marshmallow.
Only the 12 people that have seen Veronica Mars that are listening know what the hell you even said. 12 people.
But those 12 people will appreciate it, and they'll send more money over at P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
I doubt it, but 12 people. That's what I'm banking on. All right. Moving on. So what do we think of all these interim agreements that SAG is making so indie features can be made, you know, with independent actors like Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway and shit like this? And the rules of promotion I want to talk about too, but first, just Kevin Smith got a waiver so he can make a movie. You know, Matthew McConaughey got a waiver. There are several other big name actors that are under indie rules and agree to the SAG stipulations that are now being able to make movies. I'm curious what you guys think about this, because it feels to me like that isn't playing fair.
I mean, it does, but then you understand what these interim agreements actually bring to the table.
All right.
And the interim agreements are there and designed so that there's like a production that's in Oklahoma that's going on right now. And because that production shut down, the entire town shuts down. So the interim agreements are, how do we get the people that aren't the actors and the big name people back to work? Because there's craft services people and craftsmen and set builders and camera people and local editing shops and things of that nature for these smaller independent films And so the agreements are, how do we get people like that back to work? Because they rely on the writers and the actors in order to do their craft. And so they're allowing these movies to happen, but the interim agreement is only approved with the SAG AFTRA stipulations in the agreement. So really, it's actually beneficial to the overall cause, because all of these agreements, everybody's saying, sure, we'll give in to SAG. Sure, we'll give in to SAG. Sure, we'll give in to SAG. And they have to abide by those up until the point that the American Motion Picture and Television Producers Group agrees to a new deal with SAG, in which case then those agreements will basically be null and void and the new agreement will take over. I think what people are pissed off about is the fact that even though these interim agreements are being made, these independent movies still need distribution, mm-hmm. and they're going to Amazon and Apple and Disney for the distribution part of it. But that's not where AMPTP actually comes in from the agreements with the actors directly. And so there's like this, what looks like a conflict of interest, but it's actually not a conflict of interest. So it's just really complex at the end of the day.
I think it's a little bit of a conflict of interest. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I do understand what you're saying. I do think that the more that you offer this ability, the less really dire it feels from a lot of people's standpoint. Like, well, apparently it's not that big a deal. You're just handing these out left and right. And they seem to be handing out a bunch lately.
Or it goes to the fact of what they're really kind of trying to do is they're all negotiating individual deals, which at the end of the day goes, do you really need a union if you can just negotiate your individual deals?
I mean, there's something to be said for that. I mean, obviously they feel they need a union, and that helps them, you know, the working actor, not necessarily the marquee actor, but the working
actor. I mean, everybody hates the strike. We shouldn't strike, but I understand it's a necessity. So
Stephen Amell sure feels that way.
One way not to strike is to not have a union to begin with.
Dumb actors having dumb opinions. Or stating their opinions when they should just probably be quiet. Now, here
that
we had
poor guy.
We had a interesting, Troy and I had an interesting discussion. I'm curious what you think, John. So Troy and I were debating, and I, you know, Troy's of the mindset, if you're on strike, you have to respect the rules and you don't speak out of turn because that's what you guys all agreed to, blah, blah, blah. I'm of the mindset that I don't believe ever in groupthink, and I don't care if I'm in a union or not. If I have an opinion and I want to state my opinion, I'm going to state my opinion, period. And I think anything outside of that sounds like you're more threatened by your own ideas than by mine, you know? So what say you? Do you think it's okay that Stephen Amell came out? Because basically, if you don't know, he was attacked by everyone for speaking out against, he wasn't against the strikes, he was against the strikes, but not against the strikes. He had a really weird position, but whatever.
Yeah, he appreciates the union, but he thinks striking is stupid.
Yeah, essentially. So John, what do you say to that? Which side do you land on?
I land on the side that everyone's entitled to having their own opinion and entitled to being able to express that opinion. They also have to accept the fallout from that opinion, especially when they do not show up with a well-formulated thought and a well-formulated way to express that thought. Ultimately, the union's there to speak for the vast majority of the people involved, but at the same time, the union needs to understand that they're not speaking for everybody. They're just speaking for a vast majority.
The collective.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people who do have a separate view from the union and have a right to be able to say, well, you know, I like the union. That's great, but I don't agree with this, that, and the other. And that way, if they are having trouble being heard within the union, they can at least be heard outside of the union, and express those views that they have so that they can either A, get people within the union to start listening to them, or B, be called out for being a dumbass.
I find it fascinating. he got jumped on by everyone in the media, acting circles. Everyone was jumping on him for having this opinion. And I watched the whole video. I didn't think it was that bad. He had a retort, which you can find on his Facebook page or his social medias, and kind of
on
X. There you go. Went through and explained everything from his perspective. You know, I'm not a huge Stephen Amell fan. I don't know if that's the right take or the wrong take, because I'm not in that union. But I also believe in my heart that as soon as you start attacking people that have a different opinion of you, you stop listening to everything. So in my mind, it's it's in bad favor to do that. I just don't think it's a positive thing to do. Because you're not listening to the people that are in your union to begin with.
We're not having conversations anymore. We're just attacking one another.
It's just everything that we said. That's what it is. You know, we can't hear anything else. I'm sorry. You can't say anything else. That's the deal. I don't like groupthink. I really don't, of any kind.
Tribalism is going to kill us.
So what do we think about the rules of promotion? Because this one I do think is dumb. And Zachary Levi came out against it. So basically what happens is because the actors are striking, they can't even promote things that they've already done. So it's not about thing not working and striking there. It's they're not allowed to promote the things that they've already done. Jason Statham couldn't promote Meg 2. Denzel Washington can't promote Equalizer 3. You know, things like that. They can't get out on the circuit and promote things where hundreds of people worked on this, and it's going to lose money because the idea is we're going to hurt the studios. We're trying to punish the studios. What do you think about that?
And they can't talk about the things that they have done also.
Yeah, that's what Zachary Levi was talking about, right? He can't talk about movies he's already done that are already out, like that crappy Shazam sequel.
Yeah, but you can't say Shazam. You can say that superhero movie.
I can say whatever I want.
That was involved with a family.
I'm not in the union. I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between it's hard because the difference the way Zachary Levi was stating it versus the way Stephen Amell was saying it, Zachary Levi was literally saying like the rule is dumb, right? He firmly believes that striking is the right thing to do and that they all voted and everything needs to be done and everything that's going on as well. What he's saying is like the fact that we can't actually talk about this stuff is just strange. Yeah, where Stephen Amell was like, I like the union. However, striking is bad because that's what you don't say when you're literally on strike. Because when you're on strike, you have to support what everybody voted on. That's the point of the union. You voice your stuff before the vote happens, and when it's 98-2, you're pretty much in unanimous, you know, things there. You all stand in line and you say what the line is supposed to say, and you let the union rep speak for the union. And then you can talk amongst yourselves, but you definitely don't talk to the media. You know,
To be fair, he wasn't talking to the media. He was at a con.
Everybody's the media. We're the media.
Sure, sure. I guess these days, yeah, that's probably true.
But like in Zachary Levi's case, he's just riffing on a thing to the fans. You know, he's just telling the fans, like, look, I get it. It's stupid that we can't talk about this stuff, but we can't. Right? He didn't say it's stupid and we should and kept going. He said it's dumb, but we can't.
But it is dumb.
It is dumb.
It's idiotic. I think it's idiotic that they can't promote anything because you already made it. Work on the deals going forward. I get that, but you're basically hurting your fellow actors at the same time because I guess what? If they have a couple flops in that time. Jason Statham has two movies that is coming out during these strikes, right? Meg 2 and he's got Expendables 4. You know, they're both sequels, so they should have some self-promotion of their own in some ways, but he can't get out there and promote those movies, either one. That hurts him as an actor down the road and also anybody else who are in those movies. Is that fair? I don't think that's fair.
No, I don't think that's fair either. You know, I can see why actors are not thrilled with this because so many actors have back-end deals when it comes to the movies that they might have taken a lighter pay up front just so that they can take the larger bit of the ticket sales or whatever on the back end. So I can see why they'd be upset. But at the same time, it's like, I can see why the SAG strike would be like, nope, we're going to go ahead and hurt them by not promoting things that are out there. I can understand that argument, but it's only going to hurt their own people, I think.
And I'm of the stance, like, anything that's not yet released, you can't promote. But if it's released, because we were talking about, what was it, last week or the week before, about how actors need to find like a second source of income because of the way the streaming and the residuals and all that's going. The way they do that is by going to fan conventions. And if I'm going to the fan convention to meet Chuck and like talk about Chuck and how great Chuck the TV show was totally unexpected, and how great Zachary Levi was in that role. It's like, if I get a chance to meet Zachary Levi, I want to talk about Chuck. And the fact that he's like, yeah, well, you know, I can't talk about Chuck. That's stupid because he should be able to talk about his work that's already aired and out there and collected all the money that it already has. Versus promoting something new, I could understand where SAG would have an issue with that.
I don't understand either one. If it's done, it's done. To me, I mean, that, because here's how I look at it. You were contracted to make the movie. And when they are contracted, they're also contracted to do the promotion. they're contracted to do publicity for the movie when they sign up for it, especially lead actors. So you're basically, in my mind, violating contract. And I get it. It's a union. You can strike and you can use that as your out. I just don't think that's right. I think that's wrong.
You can also be sued for breach of contract because you struck.
Maybe, but it's basically like welching on a bet. It's like when you make a bet about like where Black Panther's going to end up financially, and then you lose and you're supposed to watch the first season of Justified and you don't, it makes you a welcher. I'm just saying, like, for example.
It's on the list. It is on the list. I haven't even watched Strange New Worlds the entire season, nor the musical episode yet. Just, like, it's just, on the list. I'm just behind. I've joined the John bandwagon. I am excited that there's nothing coming out in the fall, so I can finally watch Justified.
Here, let me pick this up. Let me pick up this ass whooping you just dropped on Troy.
And before we move on from this topic, we're just going to mention this because it's still very early in the details, so I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on it. But we'll come back to it if it becomes a bigger topic. Marvel special effects workers, Marvel VFX workers, they voted to unionize due to their overwork and unrealistic deadlines. They're saying that they need some improved working conditions in the industry, and a union could help them do that. So we could see a wider movement here, because this is just a Disney, but this could go across the board. I could see all special effects artists wanting to do that. So we're going to keep an eye on that. We might come back to it later. We do not have a union here. I wish we did. We might probably make some more money. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets. And Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcasts. Once you sign up, you get immediate access to all content in your respective tier. If you could, please support the show at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. It really does keep the show going. We do have one review this week, and that's the Meg 2, which I saw. Troy, are you good to lead this?
Sure.
All right, because Amanda was going to, but she didn't show up. She got ate by a shark.
She did, down in the trench. Because the Meg 2 is literally larger than life thrill ride that supersizes the 2018 blockbuster and takes the action to higher heights and even greater depths with multiple massive Megs and so much more. So we dive into uncharted waters again with Jason Statham and global action icon Wu Jing as they lead a daring research team on an exploratory dive into the deepest depths of the ocean. I only think the deepest depths of this movie are the box office totals at this point, because everybody seems to be basically saying, didn't need this, could kind of pass. So what is it about the movie, Aaron, that really made it kind of not as fun as the first?
I don't agree that it's not. So there you go. The reviews are not great. They weren't great for the first one. So I went in with pretty low expectations. I was like, I enjoyed the first one. Why do I need a second one of this? It was a fun time. I mean, it was really a fun time. It's directed by Ben Wheatley, who did Free Fire. I'm a big fan of Free Fire. I saw that at South by years ago. And here we've got, it's actually a much more complicated plot, if you can believe it. There's a lot going on. The first hour of it is really more Die Hard under the sea than the Meg, which is probably why it turned some people off, maybe. And I'm not kidding. Like, it's literally like Die Hard underwater. For a good 45 minutes before it really kicks into crazy Meg action, where you've got, three Megs, floating around attacking civilians on a place called Fun Island. And, even a few more bonus creatures from beneath the sea. I had fun with it. The story's dumb. Yeah, the story was dumb in the first one. But if you like the first one, I think you're going to enjoy the second one. And if you didn't like the first one, you're definitely not going to like the second one. That's where I land on it. But if you're going in expecting a great story, see something else, because it's not about that.
You said see something else.
Oh, that wasn't intentional. But if you want to throw a pun in it, I'm in. Dead joke
so
forever.
So if both of these movies existed like independently, think like Deep Impact and Armageddon. Right. You had a choice between the two. Which of the two would you prefer to see? Did you like the more diehard aspect of it because it felt more like a story, or the first one stands alone just fine?
Well, I liked Bing Bing, and she's not in this one, unfortunately. But she probably the first one, just because it was more about the shark, more shark action. But I got to say, I think Jason Statham's having a lot of fun in this one, which is, if you've seen any Jason Statham movie, that doesn't happen often. Wu Jing is, I think, the biggest actor in China. he's having a great time. So you've got those two. Cliff Curtis is back as Mac, and it's fun to see him. Paige Kennedy's back as DJ. He was fun in the first movie. I like the first one a little bit more, but I'll be honest, man. If I watch one, I would throw two on and definitely do a double feature. I enjoy both of them. Not like Jaws 2, where'd the power line come from? Where I'm just sitting there going, that's idiotic. But this one, I mean, I just kind of know it's idiotic, and I'm cool with it.
What about the science of this one? We talked about the thermal cloud in the first one.
Who cares? Like, who? Honestly, just who cares? This is, if I literally had a conversation with somebody who said it didn't make sense that this happened and that happened, and I just wanted to slap them with a rubber glove. I just stop it, like a theater slap, because you're going to see a movie about an ancient dinosaur shark that lives down in the trench of the ocean, 25,000 feet below sea. You've got people that are somehow going to survive going that far, and it's dumb. Like, none of that is believable. So I'm sorry. If you have a hard time believing anything, it's because it's literally called The Meg 2. None of it should be believable. It's fiction. It's like bitching about a superhero movie. I can't believe he did that. He lifted that train. That's ridiculous. Of course it's ridiculous. That's why I liked it. I wanted to see a ridiculous shark eat people. Could have been bloodier. That's the only thing I would say.
Since trailers give away everything about the movie these days.
No, it didn't.
What is the one scene in this movie that you can tell me right now that will get everybody to come watch this movie?
The one scene? Well, you've seen you have seen part of it if you've seen the trailer where Jason Statham's on a jet ski. And, you know, he's basically just going up against the Meg on a jet ski. That whole sequence is so ridiculous, it's amazing.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with the Meg 2 coming to theaters now, if you have to go out and see this for $10, would you give it the full 10, or is it all the way in the bottom for dollar of chum?
$6.50. I give it $6.50. And there's a solid chum joke in there, by the way.
There has to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's sharks.
Yeah. I do think they needed a few more one-liners that were a little, you know, sharper, but I feel like that is lacking in most action movies these days. Whenever they throw out a one-liner, it's never really as sharp as it could be, but there's a good chum joke. All right, any recent film or TV recommendations? Nobody saw the Ninja Turtles, right?
No, I heard that the rumblings I got from it were like the art style is amazing, but it just falls a little flat. And I think it's because from what I heard, that the Ninja Turtles are a little more teenagerish than what we grew up with when we saw Ninja Turtles originally, where they felt more adult. And I think that's hurting the movie a little bit.
I mean, everybody that I know that's seen it loved it. So, I mean, it seems to be hitting all quadrants. I have a confession. I don't like the Ninja Turtles. I don't care about that movie. People keep saying, well, when are you going to go see it? I'm not. Because I have no interest. You know, I've seen like 12 iterations of it, and only the first one where they were in those really ridiculous suits. Remember the first one?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love that.
I kind of like that one just because of how audacious it was. But, yeah, I just don't have any.
This one hasn't been the most excited because it feels like the original in a way, because it has the animation to it versus the live action.
I don't like that style. I guess I'm alone in that. I just don't like the style.
I don't know what they're doing with the style, because what they're trying to emulate is the success of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because that has its own style that is unusual, and they're trying to do this weird CGI claymation style that I'm not necessarily a fan of. I haven't seen it either. I'm also not really that big of a Ninja Turtles fan, but I have heard nothing but good things.
What about you guys? Have you seen any recent film or TV recommendations that you got that we haven't talked about before?
I mean, it's not super recent, but it just finished its first season, and it was only 7 short episodes. But I did watch all of Hijack on Apple TV Plus in one day.
Yeah.
But not Justified, right? So you had time for Hijack, which is brand new, and not the bet that you lost last year.
Because it was the finale and we needed to talk about it for the show. I'm doing it for the show.
Right, right.
Whatever. Justified, I'm just doing for you. It only affects one person.
Welcher.
The good of the many outweigh the needs of the fewer, the one, Aaron.
When I have a bet, I honor my bets. I'm just
saying. Right. I finished Hijack as well. I loved it. I don't know how they're going to continue that into a more continuous season.
Does it have a solid ending?
It has a solid ending. You can actually watch. It's a one. You can leave this to be a one and done season.
Okay.
And it's not Passenger 57 by any sort of
means.
That's
too bad. I love Passenger 57.
Well, I love it too. But it, at least it tries to be its own thing. And there's a lot of intrigue involved. So I can I can sort of see where they're going to take the story next if they continue this series. But yeah, it's so I watched Hijack. I watched the finished up Silo finally, which ended beautifully. That ending kind of blew my mind.
We've already talked about Silo like three times.
Well, I just finished it this week. So there, I watched all of what was left of the second season of of Lincoln Lawyer, and that's one of those shows that if you want something on TV that's kind of comforting but sort of has a good story to it, but you're not really expecting to be a lot of heavy lifting, that's a great show for that. And I really did enjoy that.
Rousing endorsement. I saw the first season. It's exactly what you said. So
yeah. It's, I mean, it may not be the best endorsement out there in the world, but as I understand it, I take some stuff way too seriously. This was one of those moments where I didn't do that. And finally, I finally watched the fifth Insidious movie that just came out, Insidious: The Red Door. Mm-hmm. I watched that this weekend, and it's not as big as the other four movies. It doesn't have the same sort of moments like the other four movies, but the follow through with the storyline, it's great. I wish there was a little bit more of Lee Whannell's character, and I forget the other guy's name.
Lee Whannell comes back.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that might actually get me to watch that one.
Lee Whannell's in all five movies.
I know, but you know, I stopped after like the second one. I just never a fan of that franchise. But I know Patrick Wilson directed this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to watch it just because he was in it. But having Lee Whannell, who's also one of my favorite directors, having him in there would get me.
Yeah. Too. He's in it for about 5 seconds, but he's in there.
And just, so you know, Lee Whannell, he directed Upgrade. He wrote Saw. I mean, so he's done a ton of.
He created these characters.
Yeah. He did that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So And the thing that it's weird because after I finished watching this, I had a weird wistful moment with it. So I enjoyed it. It doesn't hit as hard as the other four movies, but it has some solid movies to it, moments to it. And everybody with the exception of the baby from the first two, everybody comes back in this one. So it's great to see that.
Still haven't started Ted Lasso though, huh?
Fuck that guy.
Jesus, such a great ending.
And just a plug for next week, or the end of this week, or whenever you're listening to this, Telemarketers on HBO is going to be starting, and that looks freaking hysterical.
What's Telemarketers? I don't know that one.
Telemarketers is Safi Brothers. It's a dark comedy docuseries about two office mates who learn the truth about their call center jobs and then decide to use it against the telemarketing industry. I think that's going to be, because we always make fun of telemarketers, like, I can't wait to watch that one.
Okay.
That's gonna be so good.
I'm curious. You got me.
It's on HBO.
So it's on Max.
August 13th. No, it's actually on HBO, but also airing on Max.
Still have HBO? Just weird.
On cable, yeah.
Weird. Who has cable?
Cable? That's weird.
Yeah, who has cable? I watched two movies on Hulu. They're both older movies, but I wanted to see them. One was called The Salvation, which is Mads Mikkelsen, is a Danish immigrant. Him and his brother are in the Old West, and he finally brings his wife and child across the sea, and something horrible happens, so he has to avenge his family. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is basically the villain that he goes up against. Eva Green is in it, but she never gets to speak for reasons that I don't want to give away. It's a solid entry in the Western genre. I've got to say, that cast should have been better, though. Should have been better. It's just it just should have been better. I mean, it's a great cast, and I think they do everything they can, but they just, you know, it's just an okay watch. The other one I watched was called Backcountry, again on Hulu. And I knew that movie for a long time. I've just kind of avoided it because I know it's based on a true story, but it's the opposite. It's kind of a lot different from the true story. In fact, it's so far different. It's nothing like the true story. So I don't even know why they say it's based on a true story, but whatever. It's about a couple who go on a camping trip, an outdoors camping trip. I'm an avid backpacker, so I wanted to see what this was. And of course, they make all the usual mistakes that backpackers do, but they also encounter a starving bear, and things get real, is all I'll say. That one was a solid movie. There's a good 7-minute scene that is worth the price of admission alone. It's absolutely grisly and really intense, but the whole movie is solid. I really enjoyed Backcountry. You know, I give it 6 out of 10. It's better than The Salvation for sure. So there you go.
Oh, I totally forgot. I watched the first episode of Good Omens season 2 also. And it picks up.
Are you glad that's back? Are you glad it's back?
Oh, the first episode. Holy shit.
Yeah. I wanted to sit down and watch the whole thing, and I just ran out of time that day.
Of course you did. You watched those other things that aren't justified.
I know. But Good Omens, the first episode was good. Yeah. Season looks like it'll be interesting.
Well, let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Speaking of The Meg 2, let's talk about sequels we didn't need. The Meg 2 is out, and as much as I enjoyed the first one, and I kind of enjoyed the second one, we didn't really need it. We didn't need another one. Based on the box office, like Troy was talking about earlier, I think we can all agree on that as well. So many movies get sequels just because they did well, and we obviously didn't need all of them, so I just want to talk about sequels that came and went and why you wish they hadn't. So I want to know, first off, John, when do you need a sequel? When do you need a sequel to something?
Oh, for me, I need a sequel for something when the characters are just so well created that I want to spend more time with them, that I want to see the furthering adventures of that character. Or on the flip side of it, if there's a hint to a backstory in which there's an ability to see where they came from, that so we're talking prequel, but technically it is still a sequel, like the whole prequel idea, it really, whatever. Anyhow, like it, essentially for me, sequels are important when you have characters that you want to spend more time with ultimately.
Yeah, we're not talking about prequels. I don't need to know how John McClane became John McClane. We're talking about what he did after he saved all of those people. And
I think prequels count as sequels because it's the second thing that came after the first thing.
I mean, I guess wouldn't have, technically.
The second thing wouldn't have happened if the first thing hadn't happened.
Right. I mean, we only call them prequels because they happened before the movie, but they're technically sequels because of the order in which they released.
Feels like a technicality. All right. So what about you, Trey? When do you need a sequel?
I think when you get to the end of the movie and the hero has like the hero moment and then the anti-hero is still out there. So I think in like Alita Battle Angel, like that one clearly screamed like, where's part two? Because you're at the point where he's about to ascend into the sky and you're like, come on. Or like The Matrix where you're like, yeah, he might've beat this one person, but now that he's beat this one person, like what other things are out there? Because Neo is just so badass. You know, that's when you're like, I definitely want a second movie. Or when you get like where it's like set up to be a movie for a sequel, like Back to the Future, like Roads, where we're going, we don't need Roads. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to the future. Let's go.
Literally says to be continued.
It does. You know, so movies that are like that, where they have a clear setup for a future possibility. I think those are ones that are ripe to say, like, we could do a sequel if we get the time.
Yeah. For me, it's all about the end of the movie. How much I want to know what happened to the main characters. I remember seeing a good example is The Mummy. You know, I was dying to see Rick and Evie again just because I adored them together and they were fun to watch. And I didn't expect that going into a Mummy movie. I expected to, you know, really just care about what the Mummy was doing. Ended up caring more about the characters than I did The Mummy. Literally, they could have made the next movie without a Mummy and still called it The Mummy Returns. And I still would have wanted to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because those characters are endearing and mm-hmm. wonderful on screen together. Rick and Evie had so much great chemistry. And even Jonathan had great chemistry with the two of them.
Sure. And then you go to the third movie and you've got like Walmart Evie and it just doesn't work.
Oh. It just Maria Bello is Walmart that's hurtful. Evie. Walmart but yeah, you're right. Evie. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just saying that's hurtful. You're also right.
It doesn't just have to be the characters either. It could be story concepts. So don't want to give anything away with Hijack, but like I don't need a second season of Hijack, but there's concepts in Hijack that are definitely worth exploring further.
All right, so let's talk about some examples of sequels that you were excited for, but once you got them, suddenly you wish it was just the one film.
So the ones that I keep on coming back to, The Legend of Zorro, the sequel to...
You didn't like the sequel?
No, I did not like the sequel at all. There was just something missing. There was something missing about the second one. There was I really enjoyed the first one for the build up and for the relationship between Anthony Hopkins' character, who's wearing brown face, I guess, the whole time.
Kinda, yeah, he never got called out for it, but he sure did.
Yeah, he sure was. You know, there was a lot of great moments with those characters, and it just didn't seem to hit the same way for me. Men in Black 3, I needed to stop after Men in Black 2.
That needed to stop after Man in Black 1, sir.
I like the third one, but I get the second one, but I get it. I'm with you. And The Chronicles of Riddick was not the movie that I was expecting.
You didn't like Chronicles of Riddick?
No.
I loved all three of the Riddick movies. I have no problems with any of them.
I like the first one and I like the third one. The second one, it felt like they were trying to make it too epic, and I think that's where for me the problem was, is that it didn't need to be an epic story. The whole story of this guy surviving situations was good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, for you, but I like the idea of expanding the story and making this absolute jackass who's a complete loner and doesn't care about anybody become controller of this entire world. I thought that was an awesome twist, man. I dug that.
Well,
that's fun.
You may have liked that, but in this third movie, they took it all away from him.
Didn't care. Still got the second movie. You got to enjoy it, man. I dug all three of those movies. And it's funny because Pitch Black, I hated the movie the first time I saw it, except I loved that character. And then I went back and rewatched it. I ended up liking the movie. It's one of those rare occurrences where it won me over after multiple viewings.
Right. Finally, Boondock Saints 2 was one that I was looking really forward to.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. It missed the mark pretty hard, especially with Sean Patrick Flannery's new face. It really bothered me.
Jesus, it's cold, man. He's not Mickey Rourke.
He's getting there.
I think he fights too. I think he fights a lot too. That's probably where it came from. How about The Matrix?
So head damage?
Troy, you just talked about The Matrix, and that's my prime example. I wanted that sequel so bad, and then once I got the sequels, I just wanted them to fade from my memory, and I never want to see them again.
Yeah, it's up there.
And the first one, you were talking about how, like, at the end, you couldn't wait for the next thing and everything else, but now that I've really kind of torn myself away from any of those sequels, I watched the first one. I think it ends perfect.
It does. I'm the superhero. I own this place.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a good moment at the end where you can just be like, all right, I'm done. The second and third ones were a mess, because that's another one to me where they said, okay, well, now we need to make this story even more epic, and they missed the mark with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speed, I think, is the obvious one. No Keanu, don't make a movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I did want that. I wanted a sequel bad, and I even went and saw it because I got excited.
Yeah, Sandra and Keanu working together, it was magical.
Yeah, they're wonderful together, man. Jason Patrick and Sandra, though, not so much.
I was just about to say, put Sandra with anybody, they got great chemistry, but Jason Patrick, on the other hand, has negative chemistry.
Yes. So
it actually makes Sandra unlikable.
Right.
The most energy he's ever had was in Lost Boys. And he didn't.
Oh, that's not saying much.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not saying much.
He just looks like morose the whole movie there. That's just who he is. You know, he's just not a energetic actor.
I think the only movie where his energy matched the movie perfectly was Rush.
Yeah. And everybody raved about that role. Oh, he's so good in Rush. Yeah. You know what he's not good in? Fun movies. He just isn't fun. And then there's a couple of Stakeout 2. I love the first Stakeout. This is very 80s, but Richard Dreyfuss and Emilio Estevez, I think, were a wonderful team. That first Stakeout is one of my favorite, like, 80 buddy comedies. And then they made a sequel, and I was so excited for it. It's kind of like another 48 hours, same kind of thing, right? I couldn't wait for a sequel, and then I got it, and all I wanted was to forget about it.
It's because of Rosie O'Donnell and the dog, isn't it?
She did. Yeah, she ruined it, for sure. She was not entertaining. And another 48 hours, I don't know how that one went so south, because there's no way an Eddie Murphy movie in the 80s with full R rating should have not been good. But it was kind of like Coming to America too. Since we're talking about it, Eddie Murphy, Beverly Hills Cop 3, one of the worst sequels of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Gives theme parks a bad name. And I worked at Six Flags.
It really did. And that score. That was such a horrible, horrible score. I just don't understand. You have Axel Foley, the theme, and you have the first two movie scores, which are, you know, a lot of soundtrack, great soundtracks and everything else. And then you get Beverly Hills Cop 3, and it sounds like a like it's almost like you're trying to recreate the theme park vibe by having like a kid friendly score, and it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Troy? Ones you were excited for, but once you got them, you said, oh.
I mean, we talked about it already. Back to the Future 2. Like, yeah. Everybody wanted that movie. And then, oh my gosh, what happened? Bill and Ted, Bogus Journey. Like, you were just, at the time in 89, you were like, man, these guys are awesome. Like, we got to hear the greatest song in the world. Let's go. And then Bogus Journey happened. So, thankfully, Face the Music righted all the wrongs.
Did it for you?
How that dare
one?
You?
I never saw that one.
Yeah, Face the Music, I thought was really good to make it a full loop trilogy.
Oh yeah, Face the Music was great. I don't know how you do not like Bogus Journey though.
It's, I mean, if you take death out of the movie and it's a horrible movie, death is the thing that saves the movie and makes it watchable.
I think you guys are about to fight, and I kind of wish you would.
I
lather up in butter first.
why butter?
I don't know, because I'm hungry.
It never comes off your body.
What?
Wash your hands and it's still there.
You're like, Troy is gonna get so many more pimples on his ass.
Yeah. So I don't need that. On Stranger Tides, Pirates of the Caribbean, like the trilogy was done, didn't need any more.
I don't, man. I can't join you on that one. As much as I don't like the third movie, I really enjoy Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow, and the fourth and fifth one, I really like both those movies. I don't care what anyone says. Even though the fifth one isn't really a Jack Sparrow movie, it's just a Pirates movie.
Right.
But it writes the wrong in the third movie, so I kind of...
Major League 2. Like, Major League, like, ended on such a high note, you're like, okay, are they going to go to the series? Are they going to take it all? Like, we got to keep this team together, and then back to the minors, and I was like, what?
They replaced Wesley Snipes with Omar Epps?
Yep.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Who made that call? No offense.
Apparently, I would probably say Wesley Snipes did.
Probably, but I'm sorry, just get a new character. Don't try to have him play. Omar Epps just does not. He cannot match the same energy. It's kind of like Jason Patrick. He cannot match the energy of Wesley Snipes. He just cannot do it.
Right.
Epps is a great actor, and he does this thing in his wheelhouse. But he's not Wesley Snipes.
Juice.
Attitude.
Oh man, Juice is a great movie.
It is a great movie.
It's like saying, let's do White Man Can't Jump again, but put Omar Epps in there instead.
Oh no! Or whatever that recent one was. God, that was not good. By the way, I tried to watch that remake that just came on Hulu. White Man Can't Jump. I couldn't get that far. That's such
a great
movie.
How do you make that? How did they make it cleaner than the movie? Is that what they did?
No, it's just updated.
Just so not needed.
Just none of the charisma of the first two. Sorry, Woody Harrelson is a very underappreciated actor, like charismatic actor. I feel like he's never really been, even though people like him, people like him in movies. I don't know if he's ever really gotten the appreciation he deserves for how well he balances another actor, and he and Wesley Snipes together are like magic. Cause Wesley Snipes is, I've long said, is one of the most underrated actors still working, cause he deserves such a better career. I don't care what his ego's like. A lot of actors have egos. He was a fantastic actor and a great action star.
Yeah. I mean, he's won a couple SAG awards and he won an Emmy.
What was the other movie the two of them was in together? Was that Money Train?
Money Train. Jennifer Lopez, man.
Yep.
She's in it too. Yep. The best.
Talk
she's
about
ever
a
been.
Charm bomb right there, man.
Oh God. You ain't kidding. She was a Money Train. She was, I mean, you couldn't help but fall in love with her. Could not help it. All right. So let's talk about movies you wish were just the very first film. And you didn't need any more beyond that. Whether it's because of what we saw or you're just happier with the first one, and why. Why, more importantly.
I'll just go with the obvious one, and that's the Lego movie.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. We didn't need
the Lego movie. The first one is so good. Like the whole way it resolves itself.
Everything is from.
The second one is just. Oh, because we made so much money on the first one, we're going to make the second one. And the second one just is not as heartwarming. It's not as funny. It's not, it's just too much Will Ferrell.
God. Is he Will Ferrell? Can we agree? Will Ferrell's just gone full Will Ferrell at this point, right? Like he's just not as magical as he used to be. I don't care that he was in the Barbie movie. That's not why the Barbie movie is making $1 billion.
If there was a continuum, right? And Will Ferrell is on one side and Nicolas Cage is on the other side. They're like the same person, but Will Ferrell isn't funny and Nick Cage is awesome. But they're just like, they're like in everything and they do everything and they don't need to.
You know what's wild is for once, I totally understand what you're saying.
I that is wild because I have no idea what the fuck he just said.
Are you kidding me? He's basically saying actors that are basically similar in their roles across the board. And Nick Cage is, you know, usually that manic, crazy, but Will Ferrell isn't fun to watch anymore, and Nicolas Cage remains fun to watch. Is that essentially not what you said?
Yeah.
See?
Well, see, it made more sense the way you said it. The way he said it
speak
was like
Troy, man.
Right. Like the way he was like, if you put the two of them on a pendulum and you sit there and set the pendulum on its axis and then tilt the axis by 54 degrees, these two actors are the same. I'm like, what the fuck just happened, Troy?
First of all, it's axis, not access. That's the most important part.
And if there was a pendulum and Will Ferrell was on one end of the pendulum and then Nicolas Cage was on the other and Nicolas Cage comes swinging in, Will Ferrell doesn't move. Nicolas Cage just bounces right back because he's that awesome.
But is that a pendulum? Because that doesn't sound like a pendulum.
John, I understood completely. I think this one's on you.
All right. For those who agree with Troy can comment on this later.
I understood.
It was freaking Superman, for Christ's sake.
Speaking of Will Ferrell, Anchorman 2, that's a prime example.
Prime example.
Oh, there's like a trilogy of shitty sequels, like Dumb and Dumber 2, Zoolander 2, and Anchorman 2. None of those need to exist.
Is there a second Cable Guy as well?
There's not a Cable Guy 2, is there?
No, he's not in Cable Guy. You're now conflating Will Ferrell with Jim Carrey.
No, I was just wondering if there was a Cable Guy 2.
I don't think
so. It seems like something that was...
There's an Ace Ventura 2, but you're not taking that one away from me. I still enjoy it.
No, that one's good. I like both of those movies. The Godfather 2? Totally
be tuna.
Godfather 2 did not need to happen.
I'm with you.
At all.
Most of the world will not be with you on that one. I'm with you.
The Ring 2? Absolutely was not needed. They solved the mystery. They knew who the person was. Like the first Ring is phenomenal by itself. Even Ringu, the original, is even really good.
Ends perfect too. Ends perfect.
The whole 10 yards. What the actual?
Yeah, that was wildly unnecessary.
Why did they make a sequel to that? That's a movie that
the first
never,
one made so much money.
Yeah, but it really wasn't a massive, I think if you go look it up, I think it was like $57 million or something around that number. It wasn't massive.
Yeah, it became like a cult hit after the fact. Like Whole Nine Yards was just like, oh, it's Bruce Willis. Oh, it's Amanda Peet. Oh, okay. Let's watch this. And then people picked it up and then they were like, as it started picking up steam, then it became like, hey, let's make another one.
Sure.
No, thank you. And Caddyshack 2. Hell no.
Okay. Oh, Blues Brothers 2.
Hell no.
I actually like Caddyshack 2.
What?
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Did you see it? Are you sure you didn't?
Caddyshack 2 that you liked it because the movie itself is bad.
Are you sure you didn't just watch Caddyshack 1 twice back to back?
You never really can tell with me, but I actually put it on maybe a month ago. I put it back on just to sit there and watch it.
You did not watch Caddyshack 2 a month ago. Is this a true story?
It's a true story.
Okay. There's no one that is sitting there going like, I'm bored today. Let's put on Caddyshack 2.
All right. So let me go ahead and go find my Max history because I know I watched it on Max.
Did you watch Nothing But Trouble as well? Just to watch some really bad
80s movies?
Nothing But Trouble is a great movie.
You
did not.
I did too.
I'm with John on that one. Nothing But Trouble is a great movie.
I totally did. It was the same goddamn day.
That's one way I could see it being recommended after Caddyshack 2.
I want a screenshot of the Max history posted in the group.
Hold on one second. I'm going to see if
social media
such a thing
didn't exist. Happen.
That's funny. Any other ones, Troy? Sorry, I didn't
no,
mean to cut you
that's
off.
All I got.
I would throw in Child's Play 2 because I loved the first one. But
good one.
Even though I know a lot of people love the Chucky series, and everything, I can't buy any movies after the first one. Because it's just annoying to me that people don't kill this doll. At some point, kick the fucker, burn him, whatever, throw him out a window, whatever you got to do. There's no reason why anyone should be surprised that this thing is coming to life at this point. So that's one of them. Independence Day 2 without Will Smith, worst idea ever. Just absolute abysmal idea. There's nothing about that was exciting. I don't care if Bill Pullman's in it or not. Will Smith not being an Independence Day sequel made no sense to me at all.
Yeah, but his son was, or the kid playing his son
and
was.
It just did not work. It was dumb. Didn't have even a fourth of the charisma of Will Smith. And Disney is doing it everywhere, but Hocus Pocus 2, Disenchanted, like these sequels that nobody, I mean, I guess Hocus Pocus 2, some people wanted, but
Book of Boba Fett.
That's not a sequel. That's a TV show.
I just want to shit on it.
Yeah, they just do a lot of these sequels to things just to make money, and it just doesn't work for me.
For me, my list is pretty easy. Blade Runner. We could have just stopped with the Blade Runner movie.
Hang on now.
Oh, hang on.
A lot of people love that new Blade Runner. I think Troy, you might be one of them. I don't remember if you.
I don't necessarily love Blade Runner, period, but both of those movies together do make a pretty compelling. I guess, I don't know, maybe Blade Runner 1 and Blade Runner 2 make me feel like Dune 1 and Dune 2, where it's like, I understand the significance of these two movies, and I understand the closeness to the material and everything. They're not going to like get me up in the morning, but they're both really good movies.
All right, slow down. Okay, Blade Runner 2049 is great because the Goose is in it, and then Ana de Armas is in it, and then that's about it. The rest of that movie is...
That's true. I don't like that movie at all. but I will honestly say I didn't like the first Blade Runner. It's just not for me, so that's why I wasn't going to shit on it. Other people obviously love it.
You know, the story is probably great. The production of it annoyed the crap out of me just because of the heavy use of sound and the soundtrack. And what they did to create tension or whatever they were trying to create or make this grandiose feel to it was just way overdone. And so the production is really where it ends with me. The Blair Witch Project is another one where we could have just stopped at the first one and left it alone because we didn't need to have a sequel or even a series of sequels for that story. I think it was more powerful just to have the one movie.
I agree. It was kind of weird how they made the second one a real movie.
Yes.
I mean, I kind of like it to a degree that they went that route, but on the same token, just leave it alone.
Right. They could have just left it alone. And first of all, The Blair Witch Project is one of those movies you can't watch twice. I mean, you could try, but
I disagree with that. I disagree with that completely.
Well,
I've seen it like five times. So
have you?
Yeah. And I enjoy it every time. It's, man, the last scene still gets me to this day.
Well, maybe I should give it a shot because I think I tried watching it a second time, or maybe I just wasn't interested in watching a second one. But it's not to say it's not a good movie. That's just, it tells me that I got everything I needed out of the first watching of it. And I still think it's a great movie for what it is. Independence Day, obvious reasons, is on my list. Dumb and Dumber. Should have just stopped at Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I just talked about that one.
Well, I'm also repeating it.
Okay, well, I agree.
So there.
I agree. Feels like you weren't listening at all. That's what it feels like.
I was too busy probably looking up my HBO Max history to see if I can find...
Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2, and then Nothing But Trouble.
And then did you go like Spies Like Us? She just did the whole 80s Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase mix.
You know what? I didn't go down Spies Like Us. That would have probably absolved me of any crime I might have committed by watching Caddyshack and then... Caddyshack 2 and then Nothing But Trouble to go to Spies Like Us to really absolve me of all the crimes I just committed by doing that. But no, I didn't do that.
The crime is that if you would have gone to Spies Like Us and not seen Fletch, then you would have had a real issue.
But Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase aren't in Fletch together.
No, but Chevy Chase is.
You know what? I have weird off topic, but I have I had a friend who was very religious, and he used to make the joke that you know there's a God? Dan Aykroyd married Donna Dixon.
Yes.
Because the only way that happens is if you pray every day for years.
Mm-hmm.
It was made me laugh.
But now they're separated, so it makes all the sense in the world.
You know what? Don't ruin a good thought, okay? Don't ruin it. Just let me roll with it, man. Let me have it. Anything else, or you want me to go to what listener comments were?
Let's go to listener comments, see what they had to say.
Okay. Josh Steinman has a perfect example. The Hangover.
Yeah, I could have seen that being stopped at the first movie and not needed the rinse and repeat of the three movies, but it also gave us the joy of what is Bradley Cooper now.
I think we had Bradley Cooper after the first movie.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah. Michael Weinrich says Avatar, but he also says, come to think of it, we didn't need the first one either. Feels like you're just not an Avatar fan because those movies are making bank.
Yeah, those movies are making bank. However, I mostly agree with him because I don't understand. I watched both movies. I don't understand why everyone loves those movies so much because I don't get anything out of it.
Sure. Andreas Grahalsi says Highlander and Scream. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Highlander's a great one. That should have just stopped at one.
And Jaws. He's got three of them. Jaws, Highlander, and Scream.
I know I'm in the minority of this, but I will say that Jaws after Jaws 3 should have been Jaws 3 should have been the end of the story.
So you're a big fan of Jaws 3D?
I am.
Did you see it in 3D?
No, I did.
I did. It was ridiculous, but also quite enjoyable.
Yeah. And I love that.
If you watch it now and you know that it was shot in 3D and you just see the shark, like, I don't know, where he's supposed to be swimming at you, but it just looks like he's swimming still.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild to watch it on TV.
It is pretty wild. It also has this, you know, Dennis Quaid.
I know. It's the only reason that I watched it more than once, honestly.
Right.
I love the Quaid. Becky Phillips, Underworld. I don't know if I ever saw any of the sequels, if I'll be perfectly honest. I saw the first one, and I'm like, I'm good.
I saw the sequels, and I'm going to agree with her. Yeah, I'm going to agree with her.
Jennifer Miller. These are interesting ones. Basic Instinct, RoboCop, Wall Street. I never saw the Basic Instinct sequel, so I can't.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah. RoboCop, I agree. Never. They've remade it. They've done sequel. No one's ever come close to that first movie. No one. So
well,
I
the first two. The first two were great.
I don't think the second one's that great. But I mean, if you feel differently, then so be it.
I enjoy the second one. The third one, when they lose Peter Weller, just doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't. I think they're making a video game with his voice back in it, though.
That's cool.
Yeah. Jason West, Wrong Turn, specifically. I actually think Wrong Turn 2 is not a bad movie, but I agree. That first one is a really good horror flick, and they should have just left it alone. There's some interesting ones in here. Michael Weinrich also said, I was going to say Breakin', but then we would lose the running joke whenever we hear a movie that's getting a sequel that shouldn't get one, like Speed 2, Electric Boogaloo, The Matrix 2, Electric Boogaloo, etc. That's a good point.
That is a very good point. So thank God we have Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, which I actually kind of like.
Kristen Mackey, Exorcist, very quickly comes to mind. Mm.
Yeah.
Exorcist 3 is actually a very good sequel.
I do love Exorcist 3. That's the one with George C. Scott.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Got Patton in it.
The second one, like, I know it's related, but it almost feels like the difference between Halloween 2 and Halloween 3.
Sure. I could see that. Yep.
Yeah.
I have a longstanding debate on Halloween 3. I think Halloween 3 is an excellent movie on its own. And I had this debate with somebody who said, no, it's a terrible movie. It's a terrible sequel, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, is it terrible? Because everyone still knows that theme song. So in my mind, if you still know that jingle, it can't be as terrible as you think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I'm going to agree. I think Halloween 3 is a great movie by itself, but it should have had some other name to it, and it should have been completely removed from the idea of Halloween I don't know what the kind of story they're trying to tell with that, with like combining it into the whole series of Michael Myers. It's like Halloween is Michael Myers' show, so I don't understand why we're doing something different for the third movie like this.
The idea was John Carpenter wanted to create something so that every subsequent movie would be its own. Like an anthology of sorts. It would get away from Michael Myers, and it would be an anthology of different Halloween stories, and it just didn't work.
Which is why it should have been called like Halloween colon versus Halloween 3.
And yeah. I think
that probably would have made it stick more.
Probably.
But I agree. Like, if you take that out by itself, standalone, it's a great movie standalone.
Happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween.
I will sing it all day long. Thank you.
Eight more days till Halloween. Halloween, Halloween. Eight more days to Halloween. Silver Shamrock. See? People know it. People know it. And still a better Michael Myers movie than Halloween Ends. So there's that.
Yeah. Tom Atkins is the star of that one. And I think he was great in the 80s for whatever it is he showed up for.
Literally, I think Halloween 3 and then just randomly. I think The Howling, wasn't he in The Howling?
He was in The Howling. He was in Night of the Creeps.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He was
you know, good. I loved his character in Night of the Creeps because he's, and which I just watched again. He's doing
You
the
watch
whole,
all this, but you can't watch anything new. I don't understand you.
Talked about Silo, Hijack, the new Insidious movie.
All right.
I did a whole bunch of new stuff. So I.
Okay. You know. Yeah, you know what? I stand corrected to a degree. You're just not watching all the good new stuff. Like Ted Lasso.
He's in a, you know, he's been in a lot of stuff, but Night of the Creeps, I love this character because whenever he answered
not,
the
it's
phone.
It's not the Adkins show. It's really not.
Right, but I was trying
I don't
to
care
get
what else he did.
Okay. But I loved it when he's answering the phone. Every time he answers the phone, thrill me. And that's Fred Decker movie.
I don't know what's happening. You know what? I think that's it for this episode. We're done. I got nothing else to talk about. Is there anything else you guys want to mention about sequels we didn't need? Anything?
Nope. Otherwise, we'd be talking about a sequel because the show's over.
He was in Blind Justice.
Jesus Christ.
The Equalizer.
I want to slap you with a rubber glove, theater style. Theater style. Thanks, everybody, for listening. That's it. Remember, everything's at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Subscribe. Review us on your favorite podcast app. We're out of here. Then remember, the next time you head to a theater or sit comfortably on your couch buying popcorn. Or buy popcorn. I don't even know what the tagline is anymore. God damn it.
Drive angry. Shut My bloody shut Valentine. Up!
'John, you ready? Is there anything, any other buttons you want to fuck with before we start? I mean, if you want to get into it, like, just get on there and just slap your piece on it or whatever. Play it like a piano.
All right. Well, I mean, if we're going to be that kind of podcast, let me just get it out.
Excuse me while I whip this thing out. What are you doing to it? Jesus Christ. All right, moving on.